Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We see you, Eagles. Hi there, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Welcome into Undisputed. I'm Jen Hale, here with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. Guys, some good Monday night football action last night.
Oh, you thought that was good last night, Jen? I mean, it was two blowouts.
You know, I'm starting to wonder about your prediction that the Vikings and Kirk Cousins are going to make it all the way to the NFC Championship game.
You better worry about your prediction about the Cowboys winning the NFC East.
Really?
Worry about that prediction.
Well, that's your prediction,
No.
I'm worried because you predicted it, too, and I'm jinxed and doomed.
It won't hurt me as much. If y'all don't win,
I will give you a chance right here, right now to rescind your Vikings pick with no penalty. No penalty. You can just say, I give up, I lost.
Good
luck.
I'll make sure I get my Eagles helmet for when they beat the bricks off you guys in a couple
of weeks. You're an Eagles fan. I've been warning you about it.
Just for like a couple of games.
Okay, great.
Skip, I thought you might be reverse jinxing with the Eagles, but man, they looked good last night. Jalen Hurts threw for 333 yards and a touchdown. Eagles win 24-7 over the Vikings last night. Meanwhile, Kirk Cousins only had 221 passing yards and 1, 2, 3 interceptions. Skip, during the game, you tweeted that you'd rather have Jalen Hurts over Kirk Cousins any day or night. Shannon. You picked the Vikings.
Yep.
What's your response to this tweet from Skip?
No, I did not pick the Vikings. I picked the Vikings to get to the NFC Championship game. I didn't pick them last night. I picked the Eagles. Look, I think the thing is the way Jalen Hurts was playing last night, I think there are a lot of people that would rather have Jalen Hurts over a lot of quarterbacks, just not Kirk Cousins. I thought last night was one of the better games that he played. You look how well he threw the football, the interception carrying off of Atwell's hand, and he could have really had a clean game. I think that's the first 300 passing yard game, 3 touchdowns with 2 rush touchdowns since Michael Vick did it on the Monday night against the Washington football team. I think that's what he did, and he launched the first play to like 70 yards to D-Jack.
Mm-hmm.
He looked really good. The weapons around him are spectacular. A.J. Brown has done wonders for that team. Devontae Smith is coming into his own. They still have reliable Dallas Goedert. And the one thing that they can do better than most teams is they can run the football. Not just with Sanders and the other guys, but Jalen Hurts. And I think the Minnesota Vikings forgot that Jalen Hurts has legs. I mean, they kept letting him get outside, and he ran for those 2 touchdowns. I'm like, dude, how you get food on the boot? You can't get food on the boot and let him get outside. He played really well. They have weapons defensively. I'm going to give credit to my homeboy. I did not know until last night that he was from Brunswick, Georgia, Darius Slay. I'm going to let him use the moniker Big Play Slay. Because the way he played last night and the number that he did on Justin Jefferson.
Oh, as opposed to Big Play Shay.
Yeah, you know. Everybody know who the real big.
Okay.
But you know,
I thought it was actually one play, Shay, but whatever.
One big play. That's all I have. But he played exceptionally well. He did an unbelievable job last night understanding where his help was and not letting Justin Jefferson get going early. Kirk Cousins played. He didn't play well last night, Skip. And he knows when. And the thing with the Eagles and looking at them, their team that's not blitz heavy. But for some reason, they're like, you know what? We're going to heat up Kirk Cousins. Because he doesn't do well when adversity likes to strike. He likes to shrink in the moment. And he shrunk last night. Now, he had opportunity to make some plays. I thought Irv Smith Jr. dropped that long pass, Skip.
He did. That could have a nice throw. I'll give you that.
And that could have got him back in the game. And when you're struggling on the road, Skip, you need guys to step up and make plays. But they did not step up and make plays last night. Give Jalen Hurts credit. He seems like a guy that's been in the lab, that's getting better and better each game. He always processed the game really well. But it seemed like the game is really, really slowed down for him. And what makes him so difficult to defend, Skip, is because they can run the ball so well, you don't want to zone them off. So you have to play man coverage. So he knows pretty soon, oh, this man coverage, this is where I'm going with the football. I got Devontae in this matchup on the linebacker in the slot. Running the angle route, I'm gonna take that. I got AJ Brown singing up. Let me take AJ. Mm. Dallas Goedert played unbelievable last night with the amount of targets that he got. So the Eagles look really, really good, Skip. And we're gonna talk about Buffalo a little later. The two best teams that I've seen, that I saw Buffalo up close and personal opening day against the Rams.
Yep.
The Bills and the Eagles are the two best teams from top to bottom that I've seen. Now I've had the luxury of seeing the Bills up close and personal take apart the Rams. And without those 3 turnovers, that game might have been 50-14 or something like that. But the Eagles look good. The Eagles are the best team that I've seen thus far in the NFC. And I know it's only 2 weeks. Mm. We got 15 games to go. We got a long, long season to go. But right now, I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. Buffalo, the best team in the AFC.
What did I tell you sitting over on this side of the table all offseason, very long? What did I tell you again and again and again? Here come the Eagles. Mm-hmm. I also tweeted last night before I tweeted the one that we're talking about. I also tweeted, the Eagles scare the bleep out of me. And that's, I typed bleep. I didn't use any word, but you know what I was thinking.
Right.
But they do. They scare the bleep out of me, and they have the whole offseason because they got way better while the Cowboys seem to just idle, just sit still and do virtually nothing. And you kept telling me, well, it's all about Jalen Hurts, and you were never sold on him because you didn't think he threw the ball consistently well enough to take them places that they haven't already been. They made the playoffs last year, and they got basically blown out by the GOAT at the GOAT.
Yes.
And they used that as their rallying cry throughout the offseason. So you're starting to see Jalen Hurts, just to be clear about this, you're starting to see him evolve into a big-time, top-level quarterback.
I'm not sold yet, Skill. Only one of his 33 throws last night were in the tight windows. That's the easiest of his career. So basically, he was shooting fish in a barrel last night. Now, that's not his fault, because we've seen him have wide-open receivers before and not be able to make those throws. But what I am seeing is that when the opportunity presents itself for him to make throws, he's making throws. He's reading the defense, taking what they're giving him, and when he has an opportunity to make a throw, he made it. It's two games. We're two games in. We got 15 games to go.
I believe in Jalen Hurts. I've told you that from the start. But before I get to my guy, Jalen Hurts, I want to talk about your guy, Kirk Cousins, because I've never believed in him. And by the way, I think he's a good guy off the field. I think he's really a great guy off the field. So this is nothing personal.
Right.
I just don't trust him.
Right.
When you most believe that you can trust him, you can least trust him.
Expectations.
Okay.
And I have them now.
He's got the haywire gene in him. Big game, big night game, look out below. He's going to unravel right before your very eyes. And he really unraveled last night because they actually had two or three legit chances in the second half to at least make it a football game, right?
Yep.
And he threw two red zone picks, including one that should have been picked before the one that was picked, which was the third one. So just to, if you happen to miss the game last night, let's just plow through Kirk Cousins unraveling, if we could, please. Here's the first one.
Double hop.
That's like, it might have been a little, it was a bad route by Jefferson. But, and this is just a bad idea. It's just a bad idea. It's a double
cover. This is right here,
Skip. You can't do it. And this is the one that should have been picked by Slay. Now, I have no idea where he was throwing the
football. Well, he's trying to, Skip, he sees it coming with the blitz, and he's back throwing off his back foot.
And he gets that one. It's like, if at first you don't succeed, fail again, right?
That ball, Skip, by the time when Justin Jefferson makes the nod inside to let him know, that ball needs to be up in the air. And it needs to be at the back pylon. Because if it's short, you see what's going to happen. And both throws were short. Okay. He knows he's got to let that ball go a lot quicker.
I just don't believe in him. I don't trust him at the highest level. He's got some talent.
Yeah.
And he's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, what is it, over a decade? This is 11th year.
Unbelievable. He is simply, period, end of story, the most overpaid quarterback in the history of professional football because he kept playing the system for all it was worth in Washington, franchise tag. And then all of a sudden, Minnesota jumps in desperation and says, we don't have a quarterback. We have to overpay for him. They gave him 84 guaranteed
million. $28 million. He was the first to get a fully guaranteed contract.
He got it. And then they re-upped with him.
Yeah.
And he's still there, still afloat, because he teases you. And you say, well, God, could we do better with him or him? Or no, we could. We got to stay with Kirk Cousins. Because it was Case Keenum who threw the Minnesota Miracle.
Right.
So we go back to, you know, they've been struggling at quarterback for so long, and yet he'll take you only this far, and then he will blow you apart.
You know what happens, Skip? He plays just well enough to keep you around the 18th, 19th, 20th mark picking. So all the really good quarterbacks that you could potentially want in the draft, Skip, they're already gone, or it's going to cost you so much to get them. So they pick 18th, 19th, they're able to get Justin Jefferson and not Justin Herbert.
So
that's what he does. He plays just well enough, Skip, to keep your hands off a great quarterback.
even his pocket stature is so weak to me. It's like scarecrow weak, where if you do heat him up a little bit, he'll start to get happy feet and start to unravel. And he always looks to me like a little kid wearing an oversized helmet. His helmet always looks too big for him. He just looks like childlike. He looks right. frail in the pocket to me. So in the end, all I know is that where I formed my strongest opinions of Kirk Cousins is he's 2-8 against my Cowboys. And I'm going to remind everybody, the last 2 years, back-to-back, my team went up to his place mm-hmm. up in Minneapolis with backup quarterbacks Andy Dalton and Cooper Rush. We're going to talk about Cooper Rush in just a moment. And beat Kirk Cousins in his building right. back-to-back with our backups. So that's all I know. Dak owned Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. And last night, that was a big stage game. They were coming off a huge opening day victory over the Green Bay Packers, and they look like world beaters. And you thought, here we go. Yeah. And it's Kirk Cousins. I'm sorry. I'm down. I'm out. I never was in on it.
But see, Skip, here's the thing. He's terrible in night primetime games. The best part about this, in the playoff, there are no night primetime games. So I'm counting on Kirk. I'm counting on Kimbo.
You just better. All right. Now to Jalen Hurts, where we have disagreed from the start. He's not the greatest thrower of the football, mm-hmm. but he has worked so hard with my friend Tom House out here in Los Angeles. He works out of Southern Cal mm-hmm. at USC. And Brady's worked with him, and Breeze worked with him, and name somebody. They've worked mm-hmm. with Tom House, who used to be, I got to know him when he was the pitching coach for the Texas Rangers. Nolan Ryan was almost his product late because Nolan threw a no-hitter when he was 45, Brady's age.
Yeah.
And Tom was in the middle of that, and he revolutionized how baseball pitchers threw footballs in the outfield. So anyway, he's a throwing mechanics guru. Jalen has worked hard. He's more upright now. He's much more over the top with it. And his touch is better. His accuracy is better. His confidence is better. I think his velocity has gotten a little bit better than his days at Alabama and then Oklahoma. What I love about him is he is the unquestioned leader of that franchise. Yeah. And that's what Kirk Cousins, Jalen is the flip side of Kirk Cousins because I don't think they follow Kirk Cousins at all. He can have a hot hand occasionally, and it's just good enough to keep Justin Jefferson barely happy and Thielen barely happy. But in the end, Jalen is the man in that locker room, in the weight room, in the huddle, on the sideline, mm-hmm. because they know when it's time to play, he's going to give them everything he has got.
Right.
He is as physically and mentally tough as anybody on that roster. And that is a loaded roster right now.
I'll give you that.
So we got leader, we got gamer, we got baller, we got playmaker, and the playmaking comes with arm now. It's getting better and better, and legs. And that run that he made, if we could see the long touchdown run, what he did at the end of it, this is not many quarterbacks will do this down near the goal line.
Oh, he lowered his shoulders.
Yeah. If we got it.
Skip, I think the first one was even more impressive.
Yeah.
When he bulldozed like three guys.
Well, I think that's what we're about to get.
No, this the second one.
Okay, this is the one where he's still he's just carrying. There are four Vikings there, and he just spins through all of them, mm-hmm. and it's sheer power because they say pound for pound. I've not seen this with my own eyes, but pound for pound, he's as strong as anybody on that
walk. He probably got a 550, 600-pound squat.
He does. He does. I think he's 600 for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. So all that works in his favor because he's won his teammates over.
Right.
And again, is he John Elway with a cannon or Dan Marino or is he Josh Allen or Mahomes boy with a cannon? No, but it's pretty good and it's getting better. He's a coach's son who is completely and utterly dedicated to this process of getting to be the best he can be. And I think Philly's just flat out lucky to have him.
The thing that, and Skip, I was really hesitant, and I thought they would probably go back into the draft and look for another quarterback. But I think Philly needs to get credit for taking their time and developing a young quarterback. A lot of times we don't see them. They'll give time, but to young black quarterbacks, they move off them relatively quick.
And
Philly says, you know what? No, we believe if we give this guy some talent, put some talent around him, give him another year, give him 2 years. I think we might have something special here. We don't need to move up and mortgage our future. How about just stand pat? Maybe, hey, one of these big-time receivers are available. They know they made a mistake in selecting Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. But they should say, you know what? Hey, we can go get A.J. Brown, still keep our draft picks, not have to mortgage to move up or up to try to get a quarterback. So to see them do that and to see him reward them for their faith in him.
Yep.
And that means a lot. Skip, sometimes you just look. I understand. I know Jalen Reagor. We hear all professional athletes say, I have the utmost confidence in me. But sometimes you need one other person. And Howie Roseman was that one other person because everything moves and slides up and down with the stroke of his pen. And he's like, you know what? I believe in this kid.
Yep.
I believe he can get it done.
Yeah, and Jalen Reagor.
And Jalen, no, I'm saying no.
And Jalen Hurts. Okay.
Yeah, I'm saying he believed, they needed one guy, he needed one other guy to believe in him.
Okay, I got it.
Because he believed in himself. He believed all along that he could be a quarterback.
Absolutely. Quick thought on Reagor. You knew his father.
I knew his father. I played with his dad, Monte.
Okay. I hated for him to get booed by the Philly fans, but they'll boo Santa
they
Claus.
They booed everybody.
I got it. But they were just booing him every touch all night long. Yeah. It wasn't his fault he got drafted. Right. It was Howie Roseman's fault.
Yeah.
So if you want to boo somebody, boo Howie.
Yeah.
I fell out of my chair because it was soon after the CeeDee Lamb pick.
Right.
And then Justin Jefferson sitting on the board.
There.
What are you doing?
I was shocked. I was like, Jalen, I'm like, that name sound familiar. I wonder if that's
so.
Call my other homeboy. Like, yeah, that's Monte's son.
Yeah. The other thing that I loved about Jalen Hurts last night was first throw of the game, he stands right up and hits Devontae Smith with a pass because Devontae was the forgotten man at Detroit when they won.
He didn't catch any passes.
Okay, he didn't catch a ball. And I'm not even sure they threw him a ball. Maybe they threw him a couple balls,
right.
But he didn't catch one.
Right.
And guess who? Yep. Jalen's just saying, okay, here we go.
Right.
I want you to know. I want you to be ready because
right.
the first one's coming to you.
Yep.
And he caught it, and he threw him seven balls last night, and he caught all seven
of them
for 80 yards.
Yep,
that's leadership to me. That's how you own and operate a locker room and a team.
Right.
That's how you do it.
Right.
You just say you're my guy. I went because AJ is his soulmate. You know
right.
they're very close. They work out together in the offseason, but he wants Devontae to know he's just as important. And,
yeah.
and look at how he spread the wealth.
Yes,
last night.
We got to keep everybody happy.
Okay, everybody got happy because. He got Goddard 82 yards, and then A.J. got 69 yards, and Quez got 69 yards, including the 53-yarder.
I don't know what the hell they were thinking on that, Skip. That's quarter coverage.
Let's look at it real quick.
What did the safety do?
Quez walked in 53-yarder.
Can you tell what the safety's doing?
Okay, everybody's playing zone, but nobody wants
it's
it. I don't know why. They just let him run right through them. But Jalen threw this on a line and hit him right in stride, and again, at
out. You see what it said?
I don't know what this is. They just let him run, and then they're looking at each other like, I thought you had him. I don't know. Jalen lost his job at Alabama to Tua.
Yes.
Because he wasn't making all of those kind
throws. Yes.
And last night, he made it in prime time, and he was still smart.
Yeah.
He talked after the game. He says, I remember what happened to us the last time on Monday Night Football. Well, they went to Dallas and got clocked by the Cowboys, remember?
Yes.
So he takes everything to heart and is driven by losing to the Cowboys on Monday night and losing to Brady in a playoff.
That's good, but you can take it to heart, but what are you going to do about it? Are you going to spend time in the lab? Are you going to get better in the offseason?
Yes,
and
sir.
It seems that he's gotten better in the offseason.
Yeah.
Give Philly credit for surrounding him with talent and making the job easy. A.J. Brown is going to make his job a lot easier because they're going to have to probably double him, and that means Devontae and Goddard getting a single coverage. Kez Watkins. They signed Pascal. I think Pascal came over for Indy. They have weapons, and they can run the football. Sanders is electric. Jalen Hurts, you know, with his leg, they got a very good offensive line, Skip. They did a very good job. Hurts kind of ran himself into that one sack that he got.
He did.
Probably should have stepped up instead of bounced it. The left tackle pushed him around, and then he got sacked. But they look good.
Hey,
they look good.
Every
they look
time
good.
I watch Darius Slay play somebody where he takes somebody and says, you're mine, Justin Jefferson last night, to me, he's a little better. I'm talking about just sheer cover corner.
Yeah.
Than Jalen Ramsey is. Okay. Just sheer cover. Jalen just plays on sheer because he's bigger, stronger. Jalen clues more. Jalen will get beat more where he just lets his mind drift a little bit and he'll let somebody run by him.
Yeah. Well, it's hard for me to argue that now. Ram hadn't had the best, you know, starting this season and going into last season, the way he finished last season, he hadn't had his best four or five games. Slay is probably more of a technician.
He is.
More fundamentally sound.
Yep. I think he's a film studier. I think he knew every move Justin Jefferson makes last night, and Justin didn't end cut on the throw.
Well, here's the thing, though, Skip. Slay knows he has, I can't let him inside.
Yeah.
You do all you could go. Hey, Go to wherever you want to go. You want to go to Geno? You want to get a Philly cheesesteak?
He did.
Go outside.
That's what he
I'm
said.
Not moving from inside because I know if you come back in here, I'm going to pick it. Now, if they run the back shoulder fade, you got me.
I
but
agree.
But I am not letting you cross my face.
He did not. He cut him off at the pass, and Kirk threw it to the pass.
Yes.
And Slay said, thank you very much.
Looked like he was running a bang eight, skinny post.
Yep. And Slay caught it and just kept running all the way across the field out of bounds and handed it up to James Harden sitting in the front row.
You watch him throughout the game, Skip. He knows that, okay, they ran what we call and I think in the West Coast system, they still call it this. We call it a shake route where he skimmies inside him and gives you the nod to the post, and he runs to the corner. Slay said, I'm not worried about that. I'm vulnerable to the 7 route. He gives him that move. Slay jumps in his hip pocket and races him to the 7. Kurt's like, nah, I ain't got it. If you understand, Skip, know where I'm vulnerable. I don't care you do all that other stuff. I'm vulnerable to the 7. I'm going to get you hip and I'm going to beat you to the 7.
Yep.
If I'm vulnerable to the 7, I'm not going to let you catch the 7. If I'm vulnerable inside, I'm not going to let you inside. I see it week after week, and I'm telling defensive guys, do not let an offensive player cross your face. How many times we see him let him cross his face? Skip, that's an easy throw. It's right. The quarterback, see him right there. Don't let him cross your face. Slay understood where he was vulnerable, wouldn't get beat in his vulnerable spot, and that's why he got 2 picks.
I got it. Bottom line for me, lifelong diehard Cowboy fan.
Y'all in trouble.
We're in some trouble because they have a little easier schedule, especially early than we have. They could just roll for a while.
I wouldn't hear nobody no easy schedule.
No, well, y'all got one.
Because you were just harping the early. We got it. Once we get past the first 2 games, Tampa and Cincinnati.
I just like our closing schedule. I like our last 7. We could go 7-0 down the stretch.
Y'all going to be so far behind, it ain't going to matter.
Okay, well, you could be right about this, but the one thing that gives me heart here is – I'm not sure the Eagles' defense is the highest quality.
No.
Okay, I think it's top 10-ish, but not top 5-ish. All I know, bottom line is, I got Micah and they don't. It's as simple as that.
The question is, do you trust your defense more against their offense, or do you trust your offense more against their defense? Because that's what it's going to come down to. Because strength on strength, I agree with you. I believe Philly's offense is the strength of their team.
Yep.
I believe the Cowboys' defense is the strength of their
team. It is.
Who takes care of the football and not put their team in harm's way?
I got 11 from heaven.
Okay.
And he's a flat-out difference maker, and they don't have that.
Well, they got Jalen. They say, we got Jalen Hurts, and y'all all got him. Well, see, our quarterback.
Now you're driving this bandwagon.
I'm just saying what the Eagle fans are saying.
I tried to tell you.
We got Hurts.
Tried to warn you.
And it's going to hurt.
It's
going to hurt. Jalen's going to hurt.
He's almost making me liking the Eagles.
To your point.
What we got, Diddy?
It was a historic performance for Hurts last night. An 80-plus completion percentage, 300-plus passing yards, and 2 rushing touchdowns. He's the first player in NFL history to combine all those in the same game.
See? Future now put that on
right
Cowboys.
For that, young man. And I won't back down. Skip's Cowboys opening up as 2.5-point underdogs against the Giants. That's according to Fox Bet Sportsbook. Cooper Rush will make his 3rd career start against the division rival. This after leading his team to a big win against the Bengals in week 2. All right, Shannon, prediction time. What do you expect this time around from Cooper Rush?
I expect him to struggle a little more than he did because I believe the Giants' defense is a little better than the Bengals' defense. Hopefully they get their rushers back, Kayvon Thibodeau and Ojulari. Not sure they're back, but they seemed like Thibodeau was going to be an opportunity. Had an opportunity to go last week. They held him out. Maybe they wanted him to get a little healthier before they rush. But I think the Giants' defense is solid. No big names. No Michael Parsons. No Aaron Donalds. No, Slay or Ramsey on the back end. No great middle linebacker like a Wagner or Fred Warner. They're just a solid unit. Hustle to the football. Know where they're supposed to be. Get there in a hurry. Do a great job of getting guys on the ground. And so I think that's one of the areas that Cooper Rush could possibly struggle in. Now, the question is, as you told me yesterday, this is a team game.
Mm.
Your defense versus Daniel Jones.
Thank you.
And that is where the problem, because there's an opportunity that Cooper Rush could be starting on some very short fields. Because Daniel Jones will give it to you. He will put the ball on the ground. He will throw it to the opposing team. And that's my cause for concern. If they had a little better quarterback play, I might be willing to pick the Giants, and I still, by the end of the week, it's only Tuesday. Who knows? I might, you know, might be feeling froggy and give you an opportunity to win some of your 17 cases I've taken off you in 2 weeks. Mm. 2 weeks!
To cut it all the way down to the 50 that you owe me.
Hey, by week, halfway through the season, yeah, you might be owing me 50.
It could be.
At the way you keep betting them.
Yeah.
But I definitely believe he'll struggle. He will not look as crisp or as clean as he did, like you like to mention, the Halloween game last year or the way he played on Sunday. So I think he'll struggle a bit more. The question is, can the Giants' offense move the ball with some regularity against the Cowboys' defense, or will the Cowboys' defense make sure Cooper Rush is playing on short fields all Sunday?
Mm.
Oh, it's Monday. It's a Monday night game.
You tell me, Saquon, he's top three in the league. Might be, after Derrick Henry struck out last night, he might be top one.
That might be a possibility. The Cowboys' defense is good. Mm. They're really good. They can generate pass rush. Darnell Armstrong and Parsons, those guys get and D-Law.
Oh, he's just Parsons now?
You
call him by his name.
Micah?
No, 11 from heaven. Come on.
Okay, 11 is a game changer.
Mm.
And he can wreck the shop. And seemingly, they haven't had a whole lot of people been able to block him in the first two games.
Mm.
And I'm not so sure the Giants, it's not like they're known for having the Great Wall of China to keep people out off their quarterback either. So I think they're going to have a very difficult time trying to block that young man.
By the way, every time I looked up the other night, somebody else from the defensive front was all over Joe Burrow. It was Dorrance Armstrong. It was Bohanna. It was Dante Fowler.
Yeah.
Or that kid Sam Williams that they drafted in the second round out of Ole Miss. Right. I didn't see much when I watched Ole Miss last year, but he's starting to pop off my TV screen.
Well, I think that's because of Micah.
I agree.
He causes so much attention that you forget. You know, they got other guys that's rushing the quarterback also. So all five guys can't be worried about Micah.
But he causes leaks all across the line because you got two or three trying to deal with him, and all of a sudden somebody else slips through.
Or then they totally forget and let him go scot-free.
Okay, I'm going to say to you about Cooper Rush what I told you all last week. He will not embarrass us, as in Cowboy Nation. Mm-hmm. He will play just the way he played at Minnesota when they were a 4-point underdog, or the other night or the other afternoon against Cincinnati when they were as high as an 8.5-point dog at home.
Right.
8.5-point dog. Now they're a 2.5-point dog on the road. So the Giants aren't getting all of the 3 points for home field advantage.
Yeah.
So you might say that Vegas is sort of almost slightly favoring Dallas.
Vegas is telling you better pick Dallas.
Mm. Is that what they're saying?
That's what they said. You better pick Dallas.
Well, Wink Martindale is probably winking in his office as we speak, saying, you better pick the Giants.
No, you know, what did he do? Skip, he's a pressure guy now. You know he's going to hit you.
He's a pressure guy. And I'm sure he is telling his players right now, we are going to expose that young man for what he is, mm-hmm. which is nothing. He's undrafted. He's nobody. Mm-hmm. He's bounced around. They're able to just run him through waivers. You know, nobody mm-hmm. claimed him. He's just some guy. He could be on the street. He could be on his couch watching this game. We need to send him back to his couch
right.
to watch this game. So the point is, this team has responded to Cooper Rush at least as well as it has to Dak Prescott.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, because I'm going to remind everybody, because it's my nightmare, but it started with your game when your Denver Broncos mm-hmm. came to Dallas last year. It was 30-0 early in the fourth quarter. Just when I thought I could trust Dak Prescott, I couldn't. He sort of rallied back into the game and hit a couple late touchdown passes to nobody.
Brown caught one, I think.
Yeah, and some kid caught one who's not even on the team anymore. But the point is, then we turn right around on Thanksgiving Day game against Derek Carr, and it goes to overtime, and Dak, they win the toss, and Dak has the football, and nothing happens,
nothing.
And they lose. Okay? And then Kyler Murray came to town. Kyler loves to.
Again, he did it to y'all again.
Because he's a Dallas area kid,
yeah.
from Plano, and he just loves to stick it to the Dallas Cowboys, mm-hmm. and did he ever. That's the second time he did right. that, where it's just shameful what he did.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they call the game different for Cooper Rush as opposed to Dak?
It doesn't appear to me so, because he's been in the system for 6 years now.
But it's hard for me
to believe. I don't see them lock him up. I thought they tried to feed the
Yeah,
feed
that's what I'm saying. They get him off to it. Because I thought they ran the ball. Skip like the first quarter or the first couple of drives. They ran the ball really, really well. And they kind of got away from that. It's like, oh, Cooper, okay, you relax now. start throwing it.
Okay.
I just think the thing is maybe they should try that with Dak. They just come out and want to just throw the ball all over the yard with Dak.
Okay, what was my biggest issue with the home loss to San Francisco in the playoff game? The offense didn't show up. It didn't come out of the locker room. Dak's the one leading the huddle in, on the sideline before the game, and he's the
pre-game pep talk.
He's the leader of the team, not Mike McCarthy. It's Dak Prescott.
Right.
And they responded how? They were flat. In a home playoff game, you came out flat as Texas, right?
Yeah.
And so I saw Cooper Rush go up there against Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. With 55 seconds left in that game, he throws a touchdown pass to Amari Cooper to win the game 20-16.
Right.
Well, that's – I'm not saying he's Brady, but it was a clutch throw.
Right.
And then the other day, he makes three straight clutch throws under a minute left to set up the 50-yard field goal.
Right.
Well, they trusted him to do it because they've seen him do it before.
Right.
And, yeah, he does have that sort of scout team connection with Noah Brown. Okay? I give you that. But – You've come up hugely clutch in big stage games in back-to-back years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't do it just once. It wasn't just an aberration. I think it's more going to be trend than blip.
But
I've told you, does he have a big arm? He does not have a big arm. Is he the most athletic? No, he's not the most athletic. He's got size. He's 6'3", 225, so he's got that going.
You do know what happens, right? The more you play,
Well, that's what Wink Martindale's doing right now. He's stroking his chin, looking at that tape, thinking, if we could just heat him up in the pocket because he can't move.
Yeah, we'll heat him up.
If we hit him a couple of times, let's see if he gets back
right.
up. Mm-hmm. Okay, what I love the most about Sunday's game was in the opening drive, it gets to be 4th and 2 at their 44-yard line. And McCarthy, to his credit, he didn't even hesitate. I'll let Cooper Rush throw it.
Yeah.
And if we could see that play again.
I was very surprised this early in the game going for it on 4th and 2.
DJ Reader just blows by Farniok, the kid out of Nebraska. Look over on the right side. He just blows right by him and just comes right into Cooper Rush. So Cooper Rush took a big hit on this play and stood strong in the pocket and said, I'm going to throw it to my guy. And there's a little velocity on that.
That was a great catch by Noah
Brown. It was because he had to adjust to the ball.
He had to stop and open his
hips. I think he had to adjust because DJ Reader's about to blow up Cooper Rush in the pocket.
Yep.
And he's got to lean a little bit sideways and throw it a slightly behind.
Yep.
They got rapport.
Yep.
They got connection. Dak didn't have that kind of connection with Noah Brown. Dak has little to no connection with CeeDee Lamb.
That might have been a play because now all of a sudden you give the ball to Cincinnati going in the 40-yard line.
Okay.
So that was
my God. I mean, that's the game. It's sink or swim on that play.
Yep.
And you can't tell me they don't believe in Cooper Rush because they do.
Yeah, Wink Martindale, you ain't going to be believing him anymore.
Okay. Well, is that what he's going to say?
Yeah, Wink got a little something for him.
Okay.
Winking.
Wink
got something for him on Monday night.
Okay. Winking, blinking, and nod. They got them all.
Old Cooper.
Right?
Let's see if you feel the same thing about Cooper.
Really?
Old Rush.
Okay. So do you think we're going to have a rush to judgment here?
Yeah, you rushing to judgment.
Monday night. There was a rush to judgment on the Cowboys last week. I kept telling you because they're dead.
We ain't going to tell them rush on over.
Yeah. So
Red Rover, send Cooper right over.
Okay, so you're leaning Giants?
Hey.
I just want to get you on
record. It's all Tuesday.
Okay, it's Tuesday, but I can hear where you're going with this. Cooper Rush says Shannon Sharpe, the Hall of Famer, is going to get exposed on Monday night. Is that right?
I got to wait till Tuesday. I can't come here. I'm going to celebrate. I'll be celebrating Monday night.
Really? You going to get you a Daniel Jones jersey by then? Wear it out of here?
I got a Giants helmet.
Yeah?
It's in Atlanta, though.
Yeah.
I might need to bring my giant helmet out.
This is the Red Rocket you're looking at right here. The Red Rocket, he's got red.
Man, pop gun ain't going to do no cap gun ain't going to do nothing.
That 4th and 2 throw, that doesn't look like a pop gun.
Cap gun Cooper.
Really?
That's what they call him at the crib, Cap Gun Cooper, yeah.
Cap gun, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Little pop, pop, pop.
Look at that.
Yeah. He looks like he's
you see how you hyping him up?
Eyes.
You see how you hyping him up?
I'm just telling you, he will not embarrass you. He's not afraid. I told you, the thing, he is fearlessly poised. You can't find that combination in backups unless it's Jimmy Garoppolo, who's been played in the Super
Jimmy
Bowl.
Jimmy G.
Okay, he is clearly and was the best backup quarterback in the league. Well, is this guy that far behind? I don't think
so. Yeah, he's that far behind.
Well, is he?
Yeah.
I don't think
so. You believe
so.
Cooper Rush can take y'all to the Super Bowl because Jimmy G did it?
I'm not going to say that because I don't want to jinx him.
Oh, you mean jinx him?
Yeah, I'm just
saying. You don't jinx him? You ain't afraid about jinxing Tom Brady?
I'm going to refer to what Jerry said the night that Dak went down on opening night. Jerry said, wouldn't it be something if we had to make a decision? He just threw it out, the scenario. Wouldn't it be something if when Dak is healthy enough to come back, and we're going to talk about this because Steven's now blurting out he could be back for Washington. Well, that's only October 2nd. That's the game after this game,
right?
6 days after this Giants game.
Right.
Okay, so Jerry's throwing out the scenario. He says, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but what wouldn't it be great if we had to make a choice, right?
Where
he played well enough that you're starting to say, well, wait a second.
Are you going to keep a $40 million quarterback on the bench?
Well, I got that. But sometimes the quarterback position, more than any position in all of sports, is about intangibles just as much as tangibles. He's got intangibles that the team likes.
Oh,
he doesn't have 12 national TV commercials. He doesn't say anything to the media. He's a nice guy, but he's humble.
He got more intangibles than that?
Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe. Okay.
The man that got your jersey. He brought your jersey, threw it in the trash, picked it up.
Okay. What have we seen twice in pretty big games with
man,
that guy?
Skip, you seen that?
The team responded to him a little bit. You just agreed with me earlier in this topic. You said, I agree. They're responding to him a little better than Dak. Did you watch Dak on opening night against the GOAT?
So let me ask you a question.
It was horrendous.
You believe Cooper Rush?
I still haven't recovered from it.
You believe Cooper Rush could have beat Tampa?
You asked me this yesterday. Could he have scored 20 points? Maybe.
No, stop.
Maybe.
Skip against that defense.
Okay, my defense held the GOAT to 19. Could Maher have kicked a 54-yard field goal?
Let me get it right. You believe Cooper Rush could have got the 19 points against Tampa's defense?
Maybe. He can operate. They got weapons. They got weapons.
What weapons?
CeeDee Lamb is a weapon.
Noah Brown, the first two games, Noah Brown is your best receiver.
Tony Pollard is a breakaway weapon. Kevontae Turpin, we haven't seen it yet, but he is lightning in a bottle.
He didn't break away from Tampa.
Well, just wait. That same defense, you were all over them last year because they were getting lit up last year.
Do you realize they're giving up 6.5 points a game? They got 10 sacks in two games.
Okay, I got it. Well, one of them was against Dak Prescott. Maybe that's part. And the second one was against Jameis Winston. Maybe that was part of it.
I promise you, they'd have more sacks and more picks had they gone up against Cooper Rush.
I don't know. I haven't seen him throw any interceptions yet. Threw a couple the other night that were a little dangerous.
Wow.
I don't know.
You done lost your mind. Rush could have beat Tampa.
Tom Brady was a 6th-round draft pick once upon a time. Just remember. He was a 7th-rounder. Right? Okay. So somebody else is a 7th-rounder. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's sitting across from me.
Man, you take one isolated incident or two isolated incidents and say, well, he did it. He could do it too.
Okay.
How many seventh round draft picks are in the Hall of Fame? How many 6th-round draft picks are in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Not many.
I know one is.
It ain't very many.
There's
it ain't very
reason
many quarterbacks.
We play the games. Every Sunday and Monday. You never know. Any given Sunday, right?
Yep.
Guys, let's move on to the NBA when we come back and talk a little bit about Shannon's Lakers. Are their offseason moves getting him closer or further away from a finals appearance? We'll dive into that debate when we come back. Shannon's Lakers made another addition over the weekend. The team agreed to sign point guard Dennis Schroeder to a 1-year deal. Schroeder averaged over 15 points with the Lakers in 2020-21, but left in the offseason as a free agent. So, all right, Shannon, what do you think? Is this a good move or a bad move?
I don't know what kind of move this is, Skip, because it doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, you got Russ, you got Pat Bev, Austin Reeves, Kendrick Nunn. Now you add Dennis Schroeder to go along with Lonnie Walker IV. This ain't college. You don't need no 6'7" guards. You think you're at Kentucky, Duke? And when you had him, what did Schroeder do? He wanted to go. He thought there was greener pastures. He didn't have Boston. Boston traded him to San Antonio. I think that's where he ended up at. San Antonio, right?
Schroeder?
Schroeder, yeah.
I can't remember. He bounced around. Houston.
He ended up. It was Texas. He ended up somewhere else. I don't get this move, Skip. I really don't. So what's the – I hope Rob has a plan.
Yep.
I don't know what that plan is, but I hope it's a good one. I hope it's a master plan because, Skip, this doesn't make any sense. All these guys at one point in time, with the exception of Russ has done what, Skip? Come off the bench. Mm. Now, if y'all think for one second, Russell Westbrook is going to sit quietly by while these guys start the game and he sit on the bench and come off the bench as the sixth man, Skip, you out your mind. Mm. They're out of their mind. I don't know what Rob's plan is, but it damn sure better be a good one. Skip, this doesn't make any sense to me. And it's, I guess they're hoping for, like, Dwight to come back on a minimum contract or mid-level exception or vet minimum, whatever that could be. Skip, what are they doing?
I can explain it.
Go ahead, please. I'll allow you to explain it.
But first of all, I must quote the guy you called the goat, I called the phony goat. Your man, LeBron James, tweeted about this, and he said, he's tweeting at Schroeder, obviously. Yes, sir. So damn happy to have you back. You're like that. You are. You're like that. That's what he tweeted. And then he plagiarized the NFL goat. He did LFG with three exclamation points. Let's effing go. That's Tom Brady's slogan, right? And LeBron borrowed it from Tom Brady, right? He's trying to say we're like co-stars. Me and you, Tom, I can borrow it from you because we're both goats. No, you're not. Sorry.
LeBron bigger. You know that. I know
he
that.
He is not bigger. I mean, bigger on TV maybe. And he's even got a new one with Lily. He's got to leave Lily be. He's hard on her, right?
With who?
In the commercial that he did. But, okay, so here we go again. It's another huge national TV commercial. It's a good one. It's a big one. I'm sure he got paid royally for this.
I bet he's a goat.
Okay. Well, he's the TV goat. No. I'll give you that. He's the commercial goat.
Basketball goat.
Okay. Well, he's not. But the point is, he just took Max. And I don't get it because he left them little to no room to play with his supporting cast. So let's think about this. Step back for a second.
Okay.
Schroeder. He bet on himself. They offered him like an $80 million.
4 years, $84 million.
Okay.
He made 5.6 last year. He's making a little over two this year.
He says, no, I'm betting on myself. I can do better than that on the open market. And he could not. And he basically had to crawl to Boston to take what they gave him.
Right.
He played pretty well for Boston. He's pretty good. You never liked him, but he's pretty good.
He's okay.
Okay. He's okay.
But he started off, Skip. I done the off the bench thing. I'm a starter.
Okay. That's
yeah, the Lakers. That's what he's saying.
He'd done it for Oklahoma City. He says, no, not here. I'm a starter. Okay, well, LeBron kind of went along with that, started calling him, you know, affectionately Dennis the Menace. Remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He does what he Menace, was to me. Right. To me. Yeah.
Okay. So the point is, then he tries to play the field again, and his free agent market has so dried up that he crawled all the way back to L.A. and took minimum to play for the Lakers.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so that's that guy's position right now. And the other guy they just signed, Patrick Beverley, is on his fourth team in 2 years. And yet, here's the painful and sad irony of this. Right now, as is, those two players, individually, they're better than Russell Westbrook. I promise you, they're better basketball players right here, right now, than Russell Westbrook, who simply led the league in turnovers for much of the year until the last three games. He was the single worst three-point shooter in all of basketball last year. And he was the fourth worst free throw shooter. And he plays little to no defense. Well, at least Pat Bev will trick him, right?
Yeah, you see.
Okay, well, maybe at least he gives you the impression that he's doing something on defense.
Yes.
It's a lot of sis, boom, ba. It's a lot of stuff. But
smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, but he gets under people's skin.
Yes.
And he distracts and he irritates. And okay, we get all that. I like Pat Bev. I'm glad I would want him to be on my team.
Right.
Schroeder can also be a little bit of an irritant, but he's got some quicksilver in him, some game on offense where he can be sort of a combo guard for you. He can score. He'll get you 15 in a game.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're both, to me, slightly more valuable than Russell Westbrook is at this stage and this age. Well, it appears to me that they're loading up so that the new sheriff in town, Darvin Ham, can play Russell Westbrook sparingly at best. And you say, well, he's not going to sit quietly. Well,
you know he's not.
Well, okay, I promise you he's going to sit. I don't know that it's going to be quietly, but they are loading up. These two guys play his position.
Yes.
They are him. They're what he does.
And what's going to be worse, Skip, forget coming off the bench. You can come off the bench as long as I'm in. If you look at guys that's come off the bench, they were always in the game when the rubber needed to meet the road in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
You look at all, Skip, you look at from the Vinnie Johnsons, you look at the Jamal Crawfords, you look at the Sweet Lou Williams, you look at the Manu Ginobili's, all of the six men did what down the stretch? They played.
Absolutely.
So if I come off the bench and now you're not going to play me in the fourth quarter, what are you telling me? What value do I have?
LeBron's gushing about getting Schroeder back. He's gushing. He doesn't do that. And there's method to this madness right here.
It looks to me, I agree with you. It looks like, I don't know about Russ being a sixth man, but it damn sure looked like they geared up to have him sitting on the bench in the fourth quarter.
That is correct. He's going to split the minutes among these three players. And it might be a little heavy. They'll have to see how they play and how they look, how they mesh with LeBron, right, obviously. But to me, I will bet you that Pat Bev and Schroeder play slightly more minutes than Russ does. Because the whole idea is, Gene is saying, you cannot cut him and send him home and I have to owe him 47 million.
Yeah, right.
She's saying, I'm not going to do that.
If Kendrick Nunn is healthy,
He's not bad either.
He's
maybe a little more two than one.
Right.
But that's fine.
A guy that can score, can get downhill on his own, can knock down a few
shots. I've always liked him.
Yeah.
And I liked him last year, and he never even he didn't get a single dribble out of him. I don't know what happened, but he was gone the whole year.
Yes.
Okay? So you have loaded up at Russ's position so that you don't have to depend on him at all. You don't have to trust him. You don't have to play him. And Darvin Ham seems like he's enough of his own man to tell Russ, I'm sorry, you ain't playing tonight.
Right.
Okay, so he's going to have to sit. He can pout all he wants.
Man, you know, bad estate.
Okay, well, he doesn't own the team. He doesn't run the team. Just because he makes $47 million next year, he can just sit and stew for all they care. He's going to stew.
That's going to be great theater. That's going to be great for us. But you know that's a powder keg. They sit on a powder keg over there.
Okay, but powder keg how? What can he do to derail the team?
You know what he can do? He can cause a stink.
Well, he'll cause it, and they'll just shrug and go on and keep playing.
It ain't that simple, Skip. It's not that simple.
He's not that good. He can't back it up.
You loving this.
No, I sort of like, because my option was just write him a check and send him home.
No.
Addition by subtraction. But instead, they went the other way. They said, no, we'll do addition by addition. We'll go get this guy and that guy, and we got Kendrick Nunn coming back. So we got plenty of rotation players to fill his role.
I think Bron like Austin Reeves better than all of them.
What do you?
I think he likes him because he's a smart basketball player. He makes it. Skip, now, is he the most talented of this group?
My issue was the same issue because I used to watch him all the time at Oklahoma. He was there for a long time. He just doesn't shoot it well enough.
He can hit a lab, though.
Okay, it comes and it goes, but it mostly goes.
Did you see what he did against the Mavericks?
Well, he hit a shot.
Yeah.
That was one. And then what happened after that?
Did you see what he did against the Nuggets the last game of the season?
Okay.
He put on a show.
Okay, he put on a show, but nobody was playing for the Nuggets. Hey. They weren't even the Nuggets. They were like G League Nuggets.
Hey, that's all right. Gave him some confidence.
And listen, he plays his tail off.
That's what I'm talking about.
And he will defend at a high level.
Yes.
I get it. LeBron trusts that.
Yeah. And he's our poor man. I mean, if there's such a thing as a poor man's Caruso, but that's what he is.
Well, he is kind of a poor man's Caruso.
I mean, think about it. Look at all the people that we added. Patrick Bear, Reeves, Kendrick Nunn, Dennis Schroeder, Lonnie Walker. You had Caruso.
You had Caruso
for $9 million. How much are you paying all these guys? More than $9 million. And you had Caruso. That did all that. Love LeBron, could run the point, play the two, defend at an extreme high level, would knock down shots in crucial moments.
Yep. I know Lonnie Walker all too well. Extremely athletic, can't shoot. And that, I guess he fits right in, right?
That's all right. Why we got our Lonnie?
Okay. I like what Pelinka is doing with Pat.
What
Nev
the hell is he
Schroeder.
Doing? Tell me what he's doing.
He
tried to piss Russ off?
No, he's not. He's preparing not to play him. That's how it is. He's got plan B and plan C that will become plan A. That's what happened.
And plan A going to be a problem.
And then he's going to say to Darvin, you do it.
Yeah.
You tell Russ he can't play.
Plan A going to make plan B, C, D, and E go make it very, very difficult.
Okay. They just offset Russell Westbrook.
Okay. You think it's funny? I know you like drama.
Not so great circumstances.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I can't wait for NBA season to start. You two are going to be at each other the entire morning.
He loves his drama.
1 year deal. He says, guys, he's been trying to get the Lakers to sign him. Been in talks with them for 3 months. So obviously, something he was really chasing—a return, maybe a little redemption in La La Land.